journalist Faye Flam interviewed risk communication expert Peter M. Sandman on March 3, 2021, about his top gripes about how public health professionals are communicating COVID-19 risk. This is segment 2, Selling Health versus Telling the Truth. For the other segments, the complete 2-hour interview, or other content on coronavirus risk communication, go to www.psandman.com.
Whenever the goal of public health and the goal of telling the truth are in conflict, the public health profession chooses the goal of public health. And you can understand why, you know, I mean, if you can save lives by lying to people, or, you know, if you're careful enough with your words, maybe you can craft your message so it's misleading without lying to people. It's very tempting to do that.
How can they be so sure though? That's the problem. It seems like they're being very presumptuous to think they're saving lives by lying or misleading people when they don't know that that's going to be the case.
Well, there are two versions of they're not sure. I mean, sometimes they're not sure about the science. That raises a whole other bunch of issues that I think we ought to get into of sounding much more confident than you have any business sounding when in fact, you know, there are opinions on both sides and there's data on both sides and you're dealing with a lot of ignorance and a lot of uncertainty. But there's a different kind of unsure that I think is important to address. And that is when you are sure about the science and you are sure that, you know, getting vaccinated is better than not getting vaccinated. You're really sure about that. Does that justify telling people, you know, giving people false impressions about how valuable vaccination is or how valuable, you know, one vaccine is compared to another, because it'll get them to do the thing you're genuinely sure is the right thing to do? Is it okay to mislead people in the interests of their own health? And that's partly an ethical question, but it's also a practical question, because if you do that often enough and long enough, will they eventually smell a rat? Will they eventually learn that public health can't be trusted? And if that happens, it doesn't just undermine, you know, COVID-19 vaccination. It can undermine all vaccination. It can undermine all of public health. So, I think, you know, even if you're sure of the science, are you sure that misleading people in order to get them to do what the science tells you is good for their health, are you sure that's going to really improve their health over the long haul, even after they learn that you misled them?
Yeah, I mean, maybe because I always go for the truth as a journalist and would like to think that that's a positive thing, I tend to think that if the truth is that it's better for people to get the vaccine, and that the message is a little more subtle than what's being projected, well, you know, the truth should, if the truth is good enough to convince the public health community, it ought to be good enough to convince the public to do the right thing, even if it's a little complexity to it. I think, you know, as we just talked about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, I think anyone hearing that would think, oh, okay, it's going to keep me out of the hospital, it's going to keep me from dying, and it's just one shot, and I can get it sooner, that there would be no reason to wait till you could get one of the other vaccines.
Well, all right, so what you're saying is it's gilding the lily, and they can sell vaccines just as well without misleading.
And it also puts without the risk that people are going to distrust them when they find out that that their message wasn't quite honest.
Well, it's your last point that makes it complicated, or at least I think complicated. I mean, if misleading people won't help even in the short term, then there's no case to be made for misleading people. But what if it will help in the short term? And I'll give you an example from a long time ago. The oral polio vaccine, once in a million, causes polio. It saves way more, you know, prevents way more cases than it causes, but it occasionally causes polio. So, you know, in the oral polio vaccine campaigns, they would lie to people and tell them that the vaccine can't cause polio. And they had very good reason in their judgment to lie to people, because if they admitted that once in a while the vaccine can give you polio, they would vaccinate fewer people and there would be a lot more polio. And they were pretty sure that lying to people helped reduce polio. You know, so now what do you say? Is it worth it? Or are you cruising toward a moment of truth, literal moment of truth, when public health is going to lose credibility? And I have always argued, maybe because I was once a journalist too, I've always argued that the short-term health benefit of misleading people is not a good investment, that the credibility of public health means you tell the truth even when, you know, telling the truth about the oral polio vaccine may make fewer people willing to get vaccinated. You do that anyway, in my judgment, because you want to preserve your reputation and your deserved reputation for always being candid. That's what I think, but it's not what most public health people think.
Interesting, routinely. Yeah, because I could say you could freeze it and say your kid is millions of times more likely to get polio without the vaccine than with it. So, you know, yes, there's you're not perfectly safe either way, but you're much, much, much safer with the vaccine than what parent would say no. If you phrase it the right way, say, don't leave your kid vulnerable to getting polio. Yes, there's a tiny chance, but much tinier chance that your kid will get polio from the vaccine than that your kid will get polio from not being vaccinated.
Well, yeah, I mean, the argument you keep making, Faye, is that if you do it right, the interest of health and the interest of truth aren't in conflict. If you tell the truth with enough skill, it's just as effective as misleading people. And you know, the problem becomes most acute if that turns out not always to be true. If it turns out that sometimes you actually have a better health outcome if you're dishonest, and then is it still important to be honest? And I think the answer is yes, but most public health people think the answer is no.
That is, that, you know, I feel like that is becoming an increasingly problematic thing during the COVID pandemic.
Let me take one more crack. I mean, I'm skeptical that you're going to use this, but
okay.
Let me take one more crack at arguing against my own point of view.
Okay.
And give you one of their, you know, an example that I think is interesting. And that's measles vaccination versus measles.
Okay.
Now, in the United States, the risk of the MMR vaccine, which gives, you know, the vaccine against measles, mumps, and rubella, is tiny. There, you know, there the one time in a million or thereabouts, and don't hold me to one in a million as an actual number. Once in a very, very long time, somebody has anaphylaxis from an MMR shot or some other serious adverse event. You know, so the MMR shot can do you real harm, but it's very rare. Okay. On the other hand, there's not much measles in the United States. Measles is certainly more dangerous than the measles vaccine if you catch it, but you're bloody unlikely to catch it in the US. Why are you unlikely to catch it? Because most people are vaccinated, so there's not much measles. So right now, in the here and now, the measles vaccine is roughly equally dangerous as not getting vaccinated. If you get vaccinated, the risk of a vaccine adverse reaction is extremely low. If you don't get vaccinated, the risk that you'll catch measles and have a serious effect of the measles is also extremely low. So you really can't make a here and now case that measles vaccination makes sense. The case that measles vaccination makes sense is in the future tense. If people don't get vaccinated, measles will come roaring back. And then, you know, it will, you know, we will wish we'd all been vaccinated. So we're not getting vaccinated because measles is dangerous. We're getting vaccinated because measles will be dangerous if we don't get vaccinated. Are you with me?
Yeah, no, I understand that. Let me get to the punchline.
Nobody in public health and no doctor would tell a parent that when the parent is trying to decide whether to give the kid the shot. You know, there's a parent in your office and you're a pediatrician and the parent, I don't know if I want to give the shot. No doctor is going to say, well, to help you understand this, let me tell you that your child's risk in the here and now from the shot, from getting the shot, is about equal to your child's risk from not getting the shot. I think you should get the shot anyway for a reason that's complicated. No doctor is going to say that. What the doctor is going to say is it's really important to your child's health to get the shot. And if doctors told the truth, you know, the truth that I just tried to explain about the measles vaccine, a lot of parents wouldn't vaccinate their children and measles would come roaring back and then we'd wish we'd lied.
I still think you could probably find a way to tell the truth in that circumstance. But I see the logic to it. I think it's still possible to say, look, you know, especially since measles tends to break out in communities where there is a lot of either sort of religious resistance or some sort of cultural resistance to the vaccine, that you can get an outbreak. And so I think to say, you know, we need to have enough kids being immune, and that there is a risk that if you opt out, lots of other parents will opt out, and then your kid will get measles. So I think it can be explained that, you know, yes, if you were the only person to not get your kid vaccinated, well, you know, your kid will be fine. But there are all these other parents that are thinking the same thing. And so we all have to act together to keep our kids safe.
Yeah. I mean, you and I are on the same page. We think that over the long haul, complicated truths are worth explaining.
Yes, and that they can be made understandable.
The problem becomes acute when you have real data or at least real experience that tells you that parent's going to walk out of your office without vaccinating her child.
Yeah. So where do you see the examples of that type of dishonesty in public health with the COVID, either the non-pharmaceutical issues or, you know, where do you see that sort of dishonesty playing out in the COVID pandemic?
There's lots of them. One of them, it seems to me, is routinely claiming with very little evidence any decline in cases is attributable to non-pharmaceutical interventions, to lockdowns and masks and social distancing. And any increase in cases is probably attributable to not taking those precautions sufficiently. As I expect you know, because you've looked pretty hard at the data, there's not a lot of evidence that that's true. There is evidence that these interventions work, but it's sloppy evidence, and it's not usually provable that when case counts go up, it's because precautions went down. And when case counts go down, it's because precautions went up. The people who are skeptical about the precautions endlessly cite counterexamples that Texas did just as well as California taking way less precautions and things like that.
Right.
But if you want people to tell precautions, to take precautions, then you lie to them and you tell them that the evidence says extremely convincingly that the precautions work. And if you say, wow, you know, we think the precautions work and we have some evidence that the precautions work, but it's pretty crappy evidence. And there's a pretty good case to be made that the precautions don't work all that well. That's not how you get people to take precautions. So if you think they work, you're going to try to claim that you have better evidence that you do, that better evidence that you than you actually have that they work.
That's a great example. Yes, that is a great example, and it sells well because it's an assumption. You know, it's an assumption. You're saying, you know, we see cases going up or going down, and then there's no, you know, clear answer as to why. And so then you make an assumption that it's because of the because of the public health measures that they recommended. It's not an out and out untruth. It's not that they know it's happening for some other reason, but it's a way of saying, of sounding much more certain about something that where there's not much evidence.
Yeah, and you know, when you self-awarely sound certain about something that you've been tweeting with your colleagues about how uncertain it is, that's a kind of lie.
Yeah. Yes, I think that is a good one. I think that one is. It seems like that, and that can really backfire because people become skeptical because people have, fatigue. People are, now they're skeptical of vaccines. And so I can see how that can be an unsustainable strategy.
Yeah, well, that's my argument, is that it's an unsustainable strategy. In the short term, it works. You can do a study that's a short-term study. You can do focus groups and you can prove that dishonesty is more effective than honesty. But it's way less sustainable than honesty. People begin to smell a rat, and over time, credibility is eroded.